A very good morning, and joining us on the line this morning is Nicholas Wolpe. He's Chief Executive Officer at Lily's Leaf History Museum. Good morning to you. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard. I'm fine. How are you?
I am well, thank you. What role did Lily's Leaf play in the women's struggle?
It didn't play a role, but if I can just give it context, the reason... Sure. Why we are focusing on women was in 2014, when Winnie visited Lily's Leaf for the very last time. That's Winnie Mandela. Mm-hmm. She made the following comment. She said, Lily's Leaf is such a wonderful place, but what she is extremely disappointed in is the fact that there is no reference to the role that women played in the struggle, that there is nowhere on site that highlights and articulates the important role that women played. And we gave her a commitment and promise that we would address this inequity, this imbalance, to highlight, to show, and to demonstrate how important the role was of women in our struggle.
So give me a sense of what the role of women was in the struggle.
Well, I think one has to look at it in a multifaceted context. Unlike the male, who was able to focus solely and on the struggle, put all their energy into the struggle. Hmm. Women played, as I mentioned, played a multifaceted role. What do I mean by that, Al? They were housewives. They were mothers. They were breadwinners. Hmm. And they participated in the struggle. So they fulfilled these roles. And on top of that, they were subjected to the same torture, the same barbaric treatment as their male counterparts. In fact, in some cases, much worse, by being banished from the family home, being denied access to the family, their children in particular, because we all know in this kind of patriarchic society, the woman is the caregiver, the nurturer, the center of the family. So they not only were interrogated, put into solitary confinement, like Winnie, they were banished. They were sent away. They were restricted to a piece of land, a house that was away from their families.
Give us a sense of the march back in 1956.
Well, there were actually, you know, there were actually two marches. There was one a year before of 2,000 people that, which preceded the march of, you know, the year later of 20,000, which was primarily against the pass laws. Mm. I mean, if we go back in history, way back, and I can't remember exactly when, there was a march where the government wanted to impose a similar system on the women. And they marched, and I think it was around 1916 or 17, I can't remember exactly the date. And that delayed the process. Jumping ahead to 1956, and the government again wanted to impose pass laws and restrictions on women and their movement. And that was what precipitated it. It was a march where they handed in a petition of 100,000 signatures to the Prime Minister, arguing, saying that this, you know, this was not acceptable. And that wonderful statement, you strike a woman, you strike a rock. Mm. And that's what the women were. They were the rock of our struggle. They were the foundation, in many cases, of our struggle. They were the ones that held the struggle together. And that march was a defiance against the very fundamental system of apartheid, the pass laws. You know, the heart of what the system was about, in many cases.
Mm. It's so interesting. What do you think the ANC of back then would think of the ANC of today?
I think they would be, I think we all know that the ANC back then would be literally turning in their grave. They would be shocked and they would be horrified. They would be mortified where the ANC's gone today.
Because when you think
if I may say it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry. No, please go ahead.
No, carry on your thought. I was just going to say that I can't reconcile an ANC that could produce the Freedom Charter with the ANC we see today, in my mind. They just don't seem to be, I can't marry the two, but I'd like your thoughts.
I agree, but it's not just the Freedom Charter, it's the Women's Charter. You know, we talk about the Freedom Charter, but we don't speak about the Women's Charter, which was the contents of which was presented at the Congress of the People. You know, I think when we talk about Women's Month and, you know, preserving and highlighting the importance of women, we must, you know, your comment, Howard, about reconciling the Freedom Charter of then with what it is today, we must also look within the context of, say, with when it comes to women and the, and have we moved forward? Have we gone forward in society around creating that society which the Freedom Charter and the Women's Charter subscribe to and articulate? We haven't. I mean, I think you would agree, Howard, that one of the other very disappointing things about what has been highlighted by covert is the extent to which gender-based violence,
absolutely,
not only here in South Africa, but around the world, is out of control. And we must acknowledge these things. And, you know, when you talk about reconciling, we haven't achieved the goals of the Freedom Charter with regard to particularly women. We haven't got, for example, a system of laws, you know, where all are equal before the law. The women are not equal before the law. Why do I say that? I mean, a lot of women fear to go and report the fact that they've been raped, because for some of them, the reporting of being raped is far more traumatic than the actual rape itself, because of the way they're treated, they're handled.
We actually did some research on this last year ahead of Women's Month, and that's exactly what we found. We found that one of the biggest problems was the fear of reporting, going into a police station that's male-dominated, maybe their abusers are associated with it. We saw a tremendous amount of this.
Exactly. I mean, does that then say, in terms of we look at the Freedom Charter and the clause which said all shall be equal before the law, does that say that we are all equal before the law? I'm sure you would agree, Howard. It's the last thing we are. We're not equal before the law. How can women fear going in to report a crime perpetrated against them?
Absolutely.
That is the most ridiculous thing.